As training camp continues with your Cleveland Browns, and joining us right now, Browns beat reporter, 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com, Cleveland Sports Insider, Daryl Rutter joining us this morning. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's glad to be back. And do you believe that the starting quarterback competition is officially over with Kenny Pickett's hamstring injury?
I don't think it's over, but certainly the rules of engagement have been altered significantly. Maybe we'll actually see Shedeur Sanders start throwing footballs to receivers instead of ball boys and equipment bags.
Ooh, Daryl Rutter. So you're going to get more quality looks at Shedeur is what we're saying here, yes?
Well, I'm just trying to use some logic, right? You had three players getting reps, maybe not consistent reps or the same amount of reps, but you know, Dylan Gabriel was doing drills with the first team offense, 11 on 11. Shedeur Sanders, of the four quarterbacks, the only one not to. So I am curious to see if that changes. If anything, though, the volume of reps going to Dylan Gabriel and Joe Flacco, they go up significantly. I should say first team reps, I'm sorry, will go up significantly because Kenny Pickett, at least it seems like for a week, will not be taking any of those.
Daryl, obviously we started out the show saying, okay, this looks like if there's any prolonged period of time that Pickett misses, especially with the joint practices looming, that was going to decide the starting quarterback situation. But yeah. Then it comes to the backups and what they're going to do with Shedeur, who has not gone up, nor, you know, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, haven't been going up against the number one. So right. I've seen people suggest that means that the Browns are sabotaging Shedeur Sanders and his chances in a competition. What do you have to say to that, Daryl?
I mean, I don't know that I would use the word sabotaging, but the premise you present, Anthony, is difficult to argue against, right? Mm. Because Shedeur is the only quarterback of these four that's in this quote-unquote four-man competition not getting first-team reps. How can you compete for a job if you're not getting reps with the starters, right? So I would say that they are, my take on the situation is they're bringing him along slowly. That they don't, clearly they don't feel he's ready for first-team reps, because if they did, he would be getting some. And he is the fourth guy in line pretty much every day with drills. That's why I made the joke about throwing to equipment guys, because there are times during the individual portion where, yeah, Shedeur comes up and they've gone through all the wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs, and so Shedeur is having to throw to assistant coaches or ball boys or equipment guys or whatever. And he's not complaining about it. He's handling it very maturely. I loved how he handled his podium session the other day. He waited for a player to finish talking so that he didn't take attention away from him, showing respect. He isn't complaining about the lack of reps or the lack of perceived opportunity to win this job and get the necessary reps to do it. But my gut tells me first of all, Shedeur Sanders is it was a three-man competition at most. I always felt it was two-man. We've had those conversations. I think it's going to be Joe Flacco against the Bengals week one. They're going to figure out what they want to do with Kenny Pickett as far as keeping him, trading him, cutting him, because you're not going to get him to the practice squad. And then they're going to keep Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders as well. Andrew Berry mentioned last week, keeping all four guys certainly on the table. They did that in 2023, but like that lasted 24 hours. But I think if they keep all four this time, it's going to last more than 24
hours. Well, depending on the severity of it, Daryl, I think could you have a short-term IR for Kenny Pickett?
Well, right now you don't have to do anything like that. You got a 90-man roster to work with here. So it's just they're going to look at him later in the week, see where things stand, and then reevaluate their quarterback plan from there. But there's no question about it, Ken. This hamstring injury certainly moves the needle for Kevin Stefanski to alter the quarterback plan this week, which I thought was going to happen anyway. It's just unfortunate that an injury is what determines how Stefanski is going to move forward now.
But so, Daryl, it's a reality that there really isn't. Beyond Flacco and Pickett, beyond that, there really wasn't a quarterback competition for number one.
I feel like that there... I mean, look, Dylan Gabriel gets red zone 11-on-11 reps. He gets two-minute 11-on-11 reps with the first-team offense. Like, he's getting quality reps for the first team. What I think is going on, and again, this is just my take, based on what I've observed through four practices, it kind of feels like, yes, it's Joe Flacco versus Kenny Pickett, and that, but they're preparing Dylan Gabriel to see the field at some point this season. So, for me, and I mentioned this on my show yesterday, that I feel like the Browns messed up the messaging here. The messaging should have never been that it's a four-man competition. The messaging should have been it's Joe Flacco v. Kenny Pickett. We're going to take a look at the rookies as well. They're going to get some opportunities. If they show us that they're ready and they're worthy, then yeah, we will certainly consider them for the job. But right now, our goal is to develop them and get them ready to play at the NFL level. But you know, we're focused on Joe Flacco v. Kenny Pickett in this competition. And then if something happens where one of these two kids comes in and just blows us away, then yes, we would be foolish not to consider them. Instead, they went and said, well, everyone's got a chance. It's a four-man competition. Well, let's be honest about it. Based on what you've seen and heard in the offseason program, the mini camp, and now the first four practices of training camp, does it sound, look, and feel like a four-man competition? No, it doesn't. It feels maybe like a three-man competition.
Darryl Ryder, brought to you by Schaub & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Yeah, Darryl, at the beginning of that statement, I wanted to disagree with you, but he explained it wonderfully, and I go, yeah, because my thought is, you know, his fan base is so strong, Shadors, that you don't want to go, well, why did you take him if you're not going to give him a chance at all? But no, the way you said it, it's like, okay, that's being pragmatic about it, and I could see it being done that way. I got to get to the running back situation. Lyman, unless you have anything more about the quarterbacks, are we going to... What's the situation right now with Quinshon Judkins whatsoever? Please help us on this.
Well, right now, the situation is he's got to get the legal thing in Florida taken care of. Like, that has to be resolved. The Browns, it does not seem like they are in a hurry to sign him. They are not in a hurry to get him into training camp. I know it comes off as lip service, but it, you know, 15 of the, I want to say 20 or the first 15 minutes of Andrew Berry's media availability the other day, which is usually focused on the season coming up and training camp and position battles, right? The first 15 minutes of that all had to do with Quinshon Judkins in that situation. So it doesn't seem like they're in a hurry to get him in here. They really want this situation to be resolved. The league is involved, obviously, doing their own independent investigation. The Browns are still looking into the situation. What the account given to police, obviously, is not good. But, you know, we don't know how true that is. There's, I think, some questions about timeline here. I think there's some, you know, questions about timing as far as making the allegation goes and whatnot, and when photos were taken, because there is apparently, according to what's been documented with law enforcement, there are apparently some photos. But, you know, so I think there's a, you know, maybe some of the evidence, chain of custody or whatever legal thing there. So there are some legal questions, legitimate legal questions here, but Brown's looking into it. Obviously, law enforcement looking into it. Obviously, NFL's looking into it. So I honestly can, right now, I don't think Quinshon Judkins is going to be in the conversation week one. He's just not going to be available.
There's no scenario where he misses the entire year, is there?
I don't know, Anthony. I can't speculate on that. Mike Hall got 5 games last year. It took the league around a month to come to that determination because his incident occurred in mid-August. Like, it was around August 15th or somewhere thereabouts. It was resolved out of court. And then the league stepped in. I think it was either right before the season began or right after it began. And they said, okay, you know, he's down for the first 5 weeks of the season. So, yeah, I can't speculate on what length of discipline he could be facing just because we don't have all the facts. And, you know, it's just the picture right now is just too unclear to do that.
Darryl Ryder, brought to you by Schaub & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Are you a fan of the Nick Saban conversation?
No.
Why?
I think it'd be Mike Holmgren 2.0. I remember the disaster in Miami. He's in his 70s. Like he would be coming here. He'd be trying to win, but like he'd be working on his retirement fund.
Nick Saban 2.0.
Yes, I'm not interested in Nick Saban as head coach of this football team. Absolutely not. I saw what happened in Miami. Ken, that was a Cleveland Browns, you know what show of epic proportions.
They went 9-7. They went 9-7.
It was a three-ring circus.
Circus at 9-7?
Yeah.
And 5?
All the stuff that happened off the field and the way he handled things.
I don't remember any of that.
I don't want any part of Nick Saban. But
they didn't get him Drew Brees. Would you have quit over not getting Drew Brees when he did what he did with New Orleans? You wouldn't have quit over not getting Drew Brees at that time?
Yeah, I got news for you. You ain't getting Drew Brees this time around either.
Wait a minute, though. If you don't get Drew, you see, you didn't answer that because Drew Brees ain't available to you anymore. Bork, I can't even throw, actually. That's pretty sad. However, well, he's got millions of dollars. But he didn't get Drew Brees. And then you get this opportunity to go and have all the power back at Alabama. You're telling me that, wait a minute. Now, that don't make any sense, Daryl.
No, I because if he comes here, he's going to want a bunch of power and all that.
Of course.
Yeah, and I am not a fan of consolidating power. I'm not. When has the Browns consolidating power ever worked?
When has sharing all the power been good for us?
Well, let's be honest about it. Nothing they do works, right? I mean,
So all of a sudden you have a problem with this. You're going to say it's Mike Holmgren 2.0.
Yeah, I don't think Nick Saban would work here. I think it'd be a great story. Hey, Nick Saban's coming back to Ohio. He's going to try and help get the Browns. Da, da, da. Yeah, okay. I would not buy any of that hype. I am not interested in Nick Saban at all.
One of the greatest coaches ever lived. Daryl's, not good enough for Daryl.
Not in the National Football League, he isn't. He's a great college coach. Undisputed, all-time, great college coach. I don't think he's an NFL coach.
If he had a quarterback, he'd be just as good as a lot of guys in the NFL.
Well, you know what? If Kevin Stefanski had a quarterback, too, yeah, he'd be better, too.
There you go. His run might be coming to an end for all we know.
Well,
probably not, but you know, we'll see where it goes here. Limey, got anything more with this, man?
Yeah, Darrell, obviously the defense going up against the struggling quarterback situation or just very early in camp, you expect defense to be ahead of the offense. But the defense does have one noticeable hole because of the injuries, and that's linebacker. So how big of a season, how much pressure is going to be put on their 33rd overall pick given the state of affairs?
Well, they really like Carson Schwechinger. They've been really impressed with a lot of the things he's been doing off the field, behind the scenes, and even on the field. They really like what he's doing. But you're right. I do think that with Jordan Hicks' retirement, the loss of JOK, they don't know if JOK can play football again. Obviously most important thing is he can just live life. I do think that certainly adds some pressure. I think it opens the door for a guy like Mamu Diabate, who started to flash a little bit last year. Jerome Baker's in that mix. Nathaniel Watson, they're going to, I think, have to, you know, take a look at him more. But you're right. The good news in this whole situation, Anthony, is linebacker is not a premium position within Jim Schwartz's defense. It's important. Don't misunderstand me, but it's not a premium position. So I do feel like when we get to the cut down and the waiver claims and keeping an eye on the wire and things like that, from Andrew Berry's standpoint, linebacker and receiver will be the two positions he's really going to be looking for help on at the end of the month. Or I should say at the end of August. I apologize. We're still in July.
Daryl, do you believe that we will have a media... you already used the term three-ring circus. Do you believe that there will be media hubbub about Shedeur Sanders by the end of the week with the national media descending upon Berea because of Hall of Fame weekend?
Possibly. If he starts getting some first-team reps, then yes. Look, the national media comes to town anyway. They're already in town, so they, you know, make their obligatory stop in Berea, you know, during Hall of Fame weekend and whatnot. They will definitely, I think, have their all eyes on Shedeur Sanders, no question about it, when they do come here.
All right, Daryl, thank you very much for the time.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.
Daryl's brought to you by Schaub & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.